Welcome, AfterBuzzers, back for another after show for Silicon Valley here at AfterBuzz TV. It is the season finale, and everything comes together. Tesla's, Jin Yang, and Piper Coin. We've got all that, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back after you kiss my...
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
We do like following the Pied Piper.
Yes.
We have Jeff Graham.
What up, y'all? Jeff Graham here.
Nate Miller.
Nate Miller.
Christian Blatt.
My favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers song is Kiss My Piss.
And I'm Phil Svitek. Jeff has graciously given me the reins today.
I have.
I don't know why, but
I have a theory.
I knew Phil... I mean, I wanted to let the Richard of our panel bring us home.
Fair enough. Because after all, you guys can kiss my...
Piss.
Before you didn't do the dance.
Oh, yeah, I'll do the dance. It's not as entertaining
you're
for the people
so
I'm listening.
Natural at doing it.
What do we think of the finale?
Let's start with them.
Okay.
Them.
Well, I can go. I just
did you just call us you people?
I don't want to be a buzzkill. I'm not sure if this finale quite lived up to the hype for me. And I don't know what you guys thought, but...
Okay.
Well, I liked it as a contained episode, but it felt like they could have done literally anything the rest of the season and then had this episode at the end. And there's a few things obviously that relate to other things that happen, but it doesn't feel like here's tying all these pieces together. It's just like, hey, there's a bunch of stuff that's going on. Forget about all that. Here's what's happening right now. Here's a time jump. Here's all this stuff. Right. It felt to me almost like it was like an interlude almost between seasons, because they're clearly going in a different, I don't want to say different direction, but the show is evolving. And just like how we saw this time, them getting out of the house and getting their new room, obviously at the end they've got an even bigger space and they've got the platform finally running. So the show's got to take a pretty drastic turn, because they can't do the, well, we're waiting to get our company, like it's done. Everything's done.
Okay.
I thought it was all right, because they managed to tie things together pretty well. And when, you know, based on our predictions from last week, I felt like I knew where the story was going. I knew that he was going to go to Gavin's house. And I was pleasantly surprised that he tried to screw everyone and then got screwed himself. I think Gavin's arc for this season, maybe if you look at the last two seasons, has actually been just fascinating and very entertaining. And I think that it actually surprisingly tied up enough things from the whole season that I was pretty happy. I still don't know that I really feel like we got the Tesla payoff, but at least there was something. There was an attempt at trying to pay it off, because the whole season was like an infomercial for Tesla, really.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think the third act really did tie together a lot of the seeds that were planted during the development of this final episode, but I just honestly didn't find myself laughing as much as I would hope I would be. I felt like in some ways I could have been watching an episode of like Halt and Catch Fire. Like it was this very, like I felt like I was watching an exciting narrative with high stakes. But when you think of like other episodes like this, like Huli Khan or like Mean Jerk Reaction, I just feel like there's more jokes that are really easily integrated into the stakes. Whereas with this, it was just like, got to make sure this happens and do this. And there was a lot of chaos for me, but not a lot of comedy. That's kind of how I felt.
Fair enough. I overall appreciate it as an episode, but you know, the kiss my piss in particular, the way they played that, it was so subtly done, and for such great effect. Whereas the Tesla, it was just so much in your face that I wish the rest of the season had that knowledge to sort of parse it down a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't exactly feel like Silicon Valley was leaning into its identity during this episode. Like I felt like I was sort of watching the plot-driven version of Silicon Valley, but also the broad version of Silicon Valley, but then also like the subtle, more season one version of Silicon Valley. And I don't know, I love the show, obviously, but I just felt like this episode was a bit confused about exactly what it wanted to do.
Fair enough. Well, we'll certainly get into all of that. And as always, we do have our news and gossip. And we have so much news and gossip because... Because of the finale, there's just a ton being written out about it, so we want to give as much coverage as we can. So we will skip Silicon Valley in real life today. I know it's Jeff's favorite segment. Unfortunately, yes. We are cutting it for time.
It got a little too real this week, I think.
Too real, exactly.
It did. And we'll give predictions for season six as well, albeit it's a while away. I just wanted to start off very simply. First off, our assistant, Holden. the effect that Jared has had on it. I don't want to spend too much time, but I want to get your guys' thoughts on what the end result of his tutelage has been.
I like the observation Guilfoyle had, wow, that Jared broke him, and how, like, maybe just the last 5 minutes of the episode, Monica seems to basically be, like, the den mother, the babysitter, and, like, having to, like, get him down off of things, which I think was a really funny dynamic that I didn't see coming. But, yeah, I just love how he just yells about everything. I thought it was funny for a character that had a very different note, even as recently as last week. I thought it was kind of funny to see just what can happen when Donald/Jared gets his hands on you.
Fair enough. Anyone have a differing or an additional opinion to it? All right. I was not here when you guys had our lovely special guest, but they did have a romance, and then we get the repercussions of that romance not blossoming as what we might have expected. So I want to get you guys' firsthand take on that, since you guys actually got to meet him.
That was one of my favorite things in the episode, was, you know, not so much that they kissed, but then how just 2 months later, it just the constant, like, sniping and everything. Look, anybody who's ever had an office romance, sometimes they don't go well, let's be honest. And to still have to work, I don't know, I thought it was the kind of uncomfortability that I appreciate from a show like this. And you know, when they sat on the couch, they gave no indication that there was going to be anything fun like this for them to do the rest of it. They're like, yeah, you know, I think we're around the rest of the season. I think we're in all the episodes. So good for them. You know, keeping it mum's a word.
Absolutely. Now, the big shift from last episode, and now it comes to fruition here, is that Monica is a full-fledged Pied Piper employee. This is one of the jumping-off points for this entire episode, because if it was not for Monica, none of... Well, Pied Piper would not exist. Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. So, I wanted to get your guys' perspective on Monica in this new role and how you guys are liking it.
Well, I was thinking a lot about, after watching this episode, the season as a whole, and like what it's been like having Ehrlich on. And I think outside of like the stoner jokes and stuff like that, he filled a very important role of being the, you know, quote unquote normal guy. Like, he kind of understood tech and what was going on, but for the most part, he needed things explaining to him. But also, he often presented a different perspective that the guys would never see, because they're like in it. So I think that part of the reason why they're bringing Monica back, other than because she's a great performer, a great character, I think she will be able to fill that role within the company and the group very well. Because right now, especially with Ehrlich gone, and like Jared used to kind of be like that, but now he's a whole nother character, I think they will really benefit from having someone, just like in the finale, to go, this is great, but what about the coin? What about this? Like, and even I just really love her character and the quip that she gives Guilfoyle, and he's like, oh yeah, she's like, oh yeah, we've been working on this all night. He's like, you're smoking my cigarettes, bitch. Like, she's not taking any crap. I just love having her around, and the idea that she's going to be more and more involved.
Yeah, I think the show hasn't necessarily explored gender dynamics in Silicon Valley as much as it could. It's a criticism the show gets, so it'll be nice to see Monica in the trenches with the guys. I think it'll give the show opportunity not only for comedy, but maybe some social commentary about men and women's roles in the Valley. And yeah, Monica doesn't take any crap, so it'll be fun to see that play out, presumably, in next season.
I feel like her bigger role is to be another checkpoint for Richard, simply because, you know, as he goes through this, and we've debated how many times, is he an asshole, is he not? In fact, it's a huge debate that we'll get into a little bit later. But she offers that perspective, and whereas before, I feel like, as truthful as she's been, she's always been held back by a certain self-preservation. And now she, obviously the self-preservation is in favor of the company. So the two finally work together, and I respect that. Is there going to be a romance between her and Guilfoyle? Because that was one of the more...
Yes, I was going to save it for my predictions, but definitely. 100%. I like the way that he's like, I like you. You know, not. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's the most romantic he's ever been.
I read that the other way. That's what I thought at first, but then when he tried to clarify, I think he was just saying, like, I like you as a person, which is, like, not something that he would ever say to anyone. I think that's what he... Like, he's basically, you're smart, I like having you around. And then I think that's why he went, wait, like, not like, because he still has his, I mean, I'm assuming he has his Satanist girlfriend.
Remember, so. But they're in an open relationship.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It is, yeah.
I sort of, I don't mean to interrupt, Christian. Yes, I was going to say, I sort of viewed it as the show meta-commenting on its inability to infuse romance into the show. Like, it was even the writers being, like, showing us the joke of, like, here's what happens when we try to have a romantic moment. Like, it just falls apart. It's so awkward. So I literally read it as the show commenting on itself, as a show that will never have romance. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think that that's an interesting take, and you might be right, but I think that because they're such an unlikely pair, that you never know, you could see something actually happen there.
They kind of look cute together.
Yeah, look, they just spent all that time working together, really intensely, close quarters. Sometimes, you know, even the dark Satan every once in a while feels the need to spread its seed.
It would be funny to see them like plumage. On a date. As plumage, exactly. It would be funny to see them on a date, or like even just getting coffee. Like, I think when it would come down to actually having them talk about their personal lives, I can't imagine a ton of compatibility there.
I don't want that because I don't think it would work out. And then we would get the plot of what the fallout and dealing with it in the office. Yeah. And I don't want that.
Fair enough. Well, they do jumpstart the whole crux of the episode, which is the 51% attack. And for those interested, there is a great article on The Verge called "The Cryptocurrency Attack Featured on Silicon Valley is Real, but Doesn't Work Quite Like That." So there are factions out there that do try to do this and rewrite certain rules and make these patches and so forth, but not to the extent that was highlighted here, and I won't get too far into it, but it is an interesting read if you are interested. Nonetheless, one of the things I could appreciate about this episode, you know, I know you had your gripes with it, Jeff, but overall everyone was involved in the fixing of this one problem for Pied Piper. Even the fact that we're talking about these officers' romances, like, even the minor characters, everyone's on board to fix this. And one of the things being, finally, it comes to a great culmination for me, the Tesla joke.
Yeah.
The one thing that can save this, because we have to get to Colin, is ludicrous mode.
Right.
What did you guys think of the journey of Jared and Dinesh?
I like, and I forget the character's name, but that she had put him on...
Priyanka? Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right. On valet mode. I love that that's even a setting. And I thought that that was pretty great. And even when she's like, Jared has to drive, and he's like, no. And I don't know, I thought that their dynamic was actually really funny. And it was definitely like a great Dinesh moment, but when they're driving through wherever that campground is where Burning Man happens, and Jared says, what exactly does he say? You said it before, Nate. Something like, do I have to fucking kill you?
No, whatever. You want to fucking die today?
That's what it is. that I mean, so many great Jared lines this season, but just the way he said it in the moment, I'm like, that's a great Jared line.
And I mean, that's a great Dinesh response, too. Yep, like, hey, yeah. It's not a real death threat, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely thought the Tesla thing went on too long this season, but at least it had a funny ending.
Yeah,
you know?
At least
I
it mean, was leading towards something.
Yeah, definitely.
Something, it's funny, I have to applaud the way everyone was used. It was a very clean episode, but in some ways, in that way, it felt a little manufactured to me. Like the way a writer's room would make sure every piece of the puzzle fits perfectly. And I think the thing I normally love about Silicon Valley finales is the surprise component. Like in Mean Jerk Time, the seemingly mechanical episode of TV becomes a masturbation joke. I don't feel like there was a ton of moments where I was shocked during this finale, and I think I would have loved a moment of genuine surprise rather than feeling like everything is sort of playing out as it should. I don't know.
Well, the genuine surprise for me, I don't know about you guys, came for the simple fact that Christian and I had predicted that Gavin and Richard would have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
2 seconds into it, Gavin screws him over and is making ice cream.
Right.
So that's, to me, I wish, I'm like you, I wish there was a couple more surprises, but nonetheless, that was the biggest for me, and I was shocked.
For me, that it didn't surprise me that Gavin double-crossed him. What surprised me was that Richard, that he did the whole thing with Delane, because I thought he was really about to sign the company over, and then the next season was going to be him working for Piper Tech under somebody else.
Right.
I thought that's really where they were going to go. So the surprise that Richard actually did something, made a decision to do something and actually followed through with it. That was a surprise for me. That was like the most CEO, leader, smart guy, savvy move I've ever seen him make.
I thought for about a second that he was signing it over, and then I'm like, I feel like Richard's going to screw him over because there's very few people that Richard seems to really dislike, except for, you know, telling Colin to kiss his piss.
Right.
But other than that, so I think that it was nice that there were several like role reversals as that storyline played out, which I thought was fun. And you know how Laurie was fairly non-committal and except how uncomfortable the dance made her that she was watching on Hooli Chat. I almost called it Skype. I'm sorry.
Well, what was interesting, the fact that Gavin, if you rewatch, he took the paper, and I'm surprised that Richard, that he wouldn't like put it face down. In essence, he should have been able to read "Kiss My Piss" from the moment he grabbed it, but he didn't. Which I thought one of the interesting aspects for me is how Richard does interact with the various CEOs. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're talking about the final two, but all of this gets started with Colin. And I thought, I'm surprised at Richard, mainly because, as Colin's explaining, like, you know, I was ousted by Laurie. I thought him, of all people, he's been there and done that and would have sympathized with him.
I think Richard's pettiness, though, is something that, if it ever gets cured, won't happen until the very end of the show. Like, it just feels like such a central part of his character is just being unnecessarily petty. And that conversation kind of happens between him and Monica. And Monica literally has to convince Richard that he's not an asshole.
I'm really finding myself not liking Richard. And I don't know if I'm like Thomas Middleditch. And I don't know if how much of it is my dislike for Richard and how much of it is I'm not enjoying the performance. But if it wasn't for Monica and Guilfoyle and Dinesh and all the other great characters in this show, I would not watch the show for just Richard.
I think I just don't like his commercials, and that makes me like him less.
I think, to me, it's just the way Richard was written this season. Like, I feel like we've seen a lot of development with Richard's character. Like, last season we talked about how much more physical his performance became, and I actually really liked Richard last season. I just feel like we haven't gotten enough unique shades of who he is as a character to stay invested, and yeah, I think there could be some arguments made that maybe Richard's development as a character needs to be pushed a little further next season.
Yeah, I feel like he's been pretty one note for a while now.
Yeah.
And especially when we've gotten this great development of all the other characters, it feels weird that our, you know, quote unquote lead is kind of this kind of one note thing that does the same thing over and over again, and everybody else just kind of operates and changes around him, but he's making the same decisions.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was just going to say, for me, probably one of the least funny things that happened in the whole episode was at the very end that he threw up again at the end. Because I'm like, all right, we get it. You know, it's just not funny anymore. It has nothing to, like, look, vomit can be funny, anybody that's ever watched Family Guy. But, you know, I was just like, okay, you know, so it'd be great if he can still be mostly the same next season. It'd just be nice to like, sort of play on what Nate's saying. Just a little something different. I don't know what it is.
Well, but this sort of opens it up a little bit. In terms of how we can contextualize it beyond just this one episode, but that's kind of pretty much the same note that season one was. Monica delivers him, like, isn't it going to be exciting? You're going to have employees, you're going to be blah, 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 and then he goes and throws up. So, and yet it's supposed to be this high, happy note. We get that same here. And for the most part, it's gone, you know, happy season finale, low season finale. Happy, low, happy. Right. And, you know, when you say he's kind of one note, it's interesting to me. He teeters between two notes of confidence and then not. Like, he had so much trouble in the opening episodes of talking to his employees, and yet right after they got rid of Action Jack Barker, he fires the entire sales team as if it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting how he's able to do one thing well and then not another, depending on the situation.
That's a good point.
For the comedic effect of the show.
Well, I would say his one note is how he actually does consistently go back and forth between these two modes. You know, there is no third mode for Richard. These are the only things that he can do. He can't react any differently. And usually it's just all very awkward.
Well, I think he just needs more personality traits, because really it's just he's a genius, he's awkward, and he wants to, you know, reinvent technology with his algorithm. And that's kind of like all of his character. And there's not, within that, there's only so much to go with. And I felt like a lot of what they've tried to do with Growing With Him is like what we saw earlier of him figuring out what he can apply the algorithm to something that's bigger, that gives him almost like a purpose for his life. But now that he's essentially achieved that, he's still growing it. Hopefully that is something they talk about. It's like, well, what does he do now? How does he keep it up? But it's just, for me, he's just getting old.
I have a thought for how Richard can better himself.
You correct. Look at you.
Want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, Richard Hendricks, have we got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us that sent you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition, check it out. I actually think Richard would be much more well-rounded if he would listen to Maria's podcast, just like 5 minute.
Monica maybe. Listens.
Yes.
I bet Monica does listen, and it's not just because she's a girl.
No.
I think that she, yeah, it's right up her alley.
That's right. And that's not me being, remember when Jared was trying to make the two Monica and whatever the other girl be friends?
Oh, yeah. So good.
It's time for a rewatch.
Yes.
So many good things. As a season overall, where do you think it stands up?
I mean, honestly, I think each season has been... I've liked less than the previous one. I still like it. I like it very much. I really liked season one. I still think it's good. I'm excited for next season. But it's just not new anymore, so I think that it just has that effect. I mean, there's a lot of seasons at this point, you know. So I think it's all right and very funny at times. But I would like to see something. I don't know. It'd be great to see things shaken up a little bit next year. And the idea that they're going to have this big workspace with potentially, you know, this year we had a bunch of other employees, which I think was nice. And now if there's literally hundreds of different people, there's so many things you can do with that. And I think that they wouldn't lose our core group, you know. So I think that I think that the future is bright for
the
show.
I think we got to see them interact with new people. Like one of the funny things for me, Lori, you know, she ends last episode saying, "I want to work with people that understand me," and yet that guy's like, you know, sometimes it's hard to read you emotionally or whatever he says.
She said that you should work with people that share the same ethics,
values.
Synonyms.
Yeah. Fair enough, but the fact that he was still equally confused and just even on that Hooli chat session, he was like, yeah, she's like, how do we proceed? And then he's like looking at her, because we like it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're saying, right? Because we like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, Christian. You mentioned that this season it was nice to see all the other employees, but I don't feel like we got a lot with them. I mean, we got a lot with Becky and Danny, but even so...
I'm so glad you remembered their names.
I know. In person, Chris and Rachel, but yeah. I just wish, I don't know, given the fact that we had the opportunity to explore so many new things, this season felt kind of samey to me.
We got Holden, we got Colin and the Octopipers, we got a few...
I just, when I think of other guest stars, like Russ Henneman, I just don't feel like the guest stars really popped this season.
Yeah.
And I think... If you're going to introduce new characters, normally this show does such a good job of making them so capital J jokey in a way that I like. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily feel like in the writing, the new characters we got this season necessarily, besides like propelling the plot, gave us a ton of comedy. Mm-hmm. So I would love some really funny employees next year.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with what you said in terms of like the quality of the seasons. I don't think it's a bad show by any means, but I definitely... ranking the seasons in my head, the earlier seasons are better. And I think looking at this season in the full scope of how it is now, we'll have to wait for the next one to see if I'm right. But it feels to me like they understood that the biggest complaint about the show was things are the same. They were keep repeating the same try something, fail cycle. So I think this season was helping them transition into something new, almost like a fresh start. And that's why it was short and kind of succinct and just kind of like, look, this happened. They had this. They finally launched their stuff. Now we can get to what we want to talk about and get more change and get this big corporate environment where we can have different departments meeting and all this drama and stuff to deal with.
But I worry. Well, I'll save it for predictions. Let's get to some news and gossip, shall we? This time around.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Our news reporter, Christian Blatt, is reading the news today.
That's right. Over here at the news desk, Alec Berg speaks to his commitment for the show and how it could go well beyond season 6. This was on the website Geek Tyrant, I was definitely going to say the wrong thing. GeekTyrant.com. He says he feels like it definitely could. That's not to say it will. And this is a direct quote. But also, the flip of that is that writing-wise, I always treat every season like it's the last season. There's nothing we had that we held back. If we have a great idea, it goes in the show. It's not as if we don't have outlines written for season 6 or season 6 and 7. We just figure it out as we go. So it seems like, you know, I mean, sure, as long as everybody involved wants to make it and the quality stays good, you could certainly do several more years of the show. You could even phase out some of these characters. You could have a Silicon Valley, the next generation. Mm. You know? So, I don't know. Are you guys excited at the idea that we could get, you know, 6, 7, 8 seasons? Or does it sound too many at that point?
I mean, I'm like you, and this is kind of just a different version of some of the news we had earlier, you know, where Mike Judge said the same thing, like he'd love to see it for 12 seasons. So I'm down for that as long as it continues to be fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I still like the show. So
definitely like the show.
I think, quote, complaining about this show, it's one of the best comedies on TV, which means even a mediocre season of Silicon Valley is much better than most of what's on TV.
We hold it to a high standard.
We do hold it, because it's the after show. Yeah.
The show holds itself to a high. Like, right. It just raised the bar so high.
Exactly.
Look, it's no Kevin Can Wait, but it does all right for itself. Guilfoyle's presentation has been released, businessinsider.com. Phil, I think you understand how they got a hold of this. I didn't quite grasp the concept as to what they got. But I think, Juliet, I think we're going to just sort of cycle through it for people watching on YouTube.
Overall, HBO, like, I think they looked at it and was like, okay, we made this presentation. Why not release it to the world? And who better than perhaps Business Insider to give it to? And so they released the various slides. It's actually quite in-depth. And if you're interested in cryptocurrency, you know, it as far as the detail and so forth, it does bode well. Guilfoyle breaks up into 5 parts overall, kind of where Marty started from, culminating into the why Pied Piper needs a cryptocurrency. And so it's a... I enjoyed it.
And the interesting thing is that apparently they were inspired to do the slide presentation after the season 5 writers received a talk from Henry Berg, who is an engineer and Bitcoin guru. He's credited at the end of the slideshow. He also happens to be the brother of showrunner Alec Berg. Huh. So I think that that's pretty funny.
Yeah, collusion. It's good that he gets credit, you know, for his work.
Also in the news, where Kiss My Piss came from. Alec Berg says it was just one of those things where we liked that Richard did what for him was a badass thing. I think it was one of those things where somebody just pitched it in the room and it's like this lame thing he would say and we all laughed and put it in. And Alec gives credit to Thomas Middleditch for actually being a much better physical comedian than he gets credit for. He mentions that a couple years ago there was a scene where he kicked a hole in the door. And that was, to me, that's the funniest physical comedy, I think, in the whole series, as far as I'm concerned. And the dance was uncomfortable to watch, but in a way where it was very funny. So I agree with Laurie, though. It was, you know, please stop doing that. according to Huffington Post, this is good news for our own Jared, Jeff Graham. Zach Woods is the MVP of Silicon Valley.
Yes!
So,
They have their reasons, but overall, just like the fact that they named him MVP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Entertainment Weekly speaks to Alec Bird about how he was nervous about this season, and I guess the season finale in particular. He was just nervous about where the season was taking us, I guess, dealing with the cryptocurrency. But that article is on Entertainment Weekly, so if you want to know more, go there. You know, hey, that's EW.com. Apparently, it's also something that can, you know, come in the mail and you can hold it, but I don't understand what that word means. There's 2 more stories. The cryptocurrency attack featured on Silicon Valley is real, but it doesn't work like that. I clicked on this link on The Verge. I still don't understand how it works. I didn't understand how it worked on the show. I just kind of nodded and smiled. If you want to know more of that. But I think this other side of the news desk has this story. TJ Miller could have been on a different show. Also, one winding things down this season.
You guys New Girl fans? Any of you guys watch that show?
I watch it with my wife, yeah.
I like New Girl. And apparently Schmidt, who's played by Max Greenfield, was almost TJ Miller.
I can't imagine it.
It would have been different, for sure. I've come to love Max Greenfield's portrayal of Schmidt. I think, to me, he's the highlight of that show. maybe arguably in the same way that Ehrlich was for Silicon Valley. So I'm glad it stayed as it was, but funny to think about a world in which T.J. Miller plays Schmidt.
Right. There's a specific thing, though, that Zooey Deschanel says about his audition. He insisted he wanted to read for the part of Schmidt, and Schmidt had this scene where he took off his shirt. He was like, this is T.J. Miller, was like, excuse me for a second. So he walked out, came back to set with his shirt off, and he completely covered himself in an entire bottle of baby oil. And then Zooey Deschanel adds, so that was memorable. But I think we've all seen enough of T.J. Miller that we can kind of imagine, yeah, I could see him doing that for the laugh.
Yep.
So anyway, and I believe that was our news and gossip, but we'll keep our eyes peeled and, you know, we'll share it via social media, anything else that comes along before next season.
That is. So speaking of which, let's get into the season 6 predictions, because there is a season 6.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
For those of you who don't follow our after show quite as closely, we did report that Barry and Silicon Valley are returning around spring 2019. Let me kick you guys off. Hopefully this will be a nice jumping off point. One of the things I thought of as far as repeating, the Lori mentions that there's going to be a lot of government personnel that they need to interact with, right? So to me, that's almost the same repeat of season 2 when we have the lawsuit.
Mm.
So I'm kind of nervous about how they could play that a little bit differently. And also for a lot of people out there that perhaps doubt cryptocurrency, the whole 51% thing gives me more doubt about cryptocurrency, the fact that people can just... do something with 51% majority stake.
Yeah, and I think this episode definitely tells us why a new internet is not something that's happening anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting about the government interaction. I'm actually looking forward to that. I think part of my gripe with this season is that we were so immersed specifically in the world of Silicon Valley all the time, whereas I think this show is sort of fun when we get more outside players involved, like what you mentioned with Ehrlich, even just being a straight man to the world of these nerds. So I think bringing in other suits who aren't necessarily Silicon Valley execs could be an interesting way to sort of shake up maybe the sameness of what we saw this season. I don't know. I am looking forward to Monica being more involved in the day-to-day with the guys, and I hope the show leans more into the opportunities involved with having actual other employees outside of our four main guys. Obviously, they're the lifeblood of the show, but I think in general it might have just been a bit of a Richard-heavy season. Maybe we're not sick of Richard, we're just sick of seeing so much of Richard. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to more... maybe rounder, well-developed outside characters in the company.
For next season, I'm looking forward to Guilfoyle and Monica and expect them to have a baby before the end of the year. So, I think that'll be good. And I also think, as I was just about to say that, I was thinking that it'd actually be really funny if Dinesh and what was the girl he gets a Tesla for?
Just Priyanka.
Because of that weird relationship that he was like buying her stuff. That would be funny if he decides that he likes her.
Yeah.
Not if she's even remotely interested, but if he's just like, come on, I bought you a car.
That would be funny, but yeah, I the reason why I appreciate the fact that you said she wouldn't, because remember in the phone, she's like, ew, no.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah, so. which was a great moment. And then my final thought is there was some great, not enough Big Head this season, but when he was there, he really shone with the ice machine in this episode, and just him really focused on how the only concern was the fact that, like, no, Jin Yang can move back into the house. So I'm looking forward to seeing more Jin Yang, by the way. I like the idea that all he wanted to do was just move back into the house.
Absolutely. Nate?
You guys really didn't leave me a lot left to predict.
Oh, there's so much left to predict. I have so many questions for you, in fact.
I don't know. I'm excited to see to see what Gavin's going to do, because this is obviously not the last we're going to see of him. And then also, Lori and Yao, they're not just going to sit down, too. So now that Lori is like fully not only not on the team, but basically an enemy now, I'm excited to see how that plays out. And I hope next season we get more of this kind of Richard in this world with these big players actually like being a big player himself, not just kind of being along for the ride. That was one of the cool things I liked about that last scene, was that we finally see Yao, we see all of these big players together, and Richard normally is either there like learning, or he's just like he's working under somebody else. And we actually got to see him, you know, be a manipulator himself and kind of maneuver around these other people and be like, haha, you thought you won, you didn't. So I'd like to see more of that. Yeah, and I'm just really excited to get more Monica in the office being like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And Gilfoyle and Dinesh are, you know, pissing on each other.
And more Holden.
And kissing it.
More Holden. I don't want more Holden. I want there to be like a grave or something. It's like a mystery that Holden just like disappears.
And blood on Jared's door. Right, yeah.
Like, how did that get there? Oh, I just don't know.
Yeah. Fair enough. I would love it. If they recycled this joke, I wouldn't mind where Monica and Gilfoyle like all of a sudden had a kid and like Richard was like, wait, I didn't know. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, that is the season. Speaking of Gavin, that was going to be one of my questions. So I'm glad you got brought up good old Gavin, because ultimately, who knows? Is Hooli going to be bought by Amazon and Jeff fucking Bezos?
Jeff fucking Bezos. If Gavin comes back next season, I do hope that he's more directly involved with the guys. I think part of my frustration with this season was Gavin operated in his own sphere for 7 episodes. The only time we really had interaction was this finale.
In the first one.
I guess in also the premiere, yeah. But for only 25% of the episodes to actually feature the characters interacting, I want more of them together, I think.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough. Well, and I am excited to have Jin Yang back as well, something we didn't quite talk about, but nonetheless, that is happening. So we've got quite a long while to go. Thank you guys for journeying us with us for this season, and you know what? As you guys catch up, perhaps you haven't seen all the episodes, and now you're finally getting around to it, let us know all your comments. We'll check back in throughout the year, respond, and so forth. We love you guys as fans, and, you know, that's a beautiful thing. In the meantime, we've got a whole year to fill, and you guys can interact with us on other platforms. Jeff, where can people follow you?
You guys can follow me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham. Shout me out there. I want to just give credit real quick to Alec Berg, who also wrote and directed the finale of Barry last night. One more time, if you're not watching that show, it is really, really good. So check out Barry, which airs in the same block with Silicon Valley. But yeah, guys, connect with me on Twitter. I'll be there, and I'd love to talk about the show with you.
Next time we see Jeff, he will be a married man.
That's true.
Hopefully.
Wow. Hopefully, I know. If we make it 6 months, we will still be married, so...
I don't know. I think there's a movie called Runaway Bride. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And you can find Phil Svitek and I almost just called you Svitek. Every other Wednesday for the South Park After Show. But, you know, it's almost time for the new season. Well, there's only like 5 more months till the season starts. And you can find me on a bunch of other shows, including Marvel TV Weekly Sundays at 10 p.m. at our new time slot.
What's up, guys? My name's Nate Miller. You can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram. We can talk about shows. If you are a gamer, in an hour from now, we will be doing the Inventory Full PT Twitch stream. Tune into that. And if you watch Westworld, we do that after show at 8 o'clock every Sunday. Come check it out. We break down all the theories and stuff.
Absolutely. And check out other AfterBuzz TV shows. I'm Phil Svitek, and you can always go to philsvitek.com for all my stuff. Thank you guys for a wonderful, wonderful season. We'll see you back for season 6.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
It's my piss.
And buzz you later.
views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.